Welcome back to RSN Central. It's 24 minutes to 12 o'clock here. And last night, the boy from Dampy was inducted into the Australian Football Hall of Fame. And boy, he's come a long way. He struggled to get a game in the under-14s at Dampy because he was a tall, skinny, uncoordinated individual. But he quickly put it all together when he headed to the West Coast Eagles as a rookie player. That mail is coming from his good mate Dicko back there in Dampy, telling me that it was hard to, he struggled to get a game in the under-14s there at Dampy, but now he's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the great success stories in Australian football, and he joins us now on the line. Dean Cox, congratulations and good morning to you.
Gareth, good morning. Thanks for those kind words.
You would have been interviewed on several occasions today. Can you just explain what it was like growing up in Dampier in regional WA? And did you always have a love for the game of AFL or Australian rules football?
Yeah, Dampier's a small country town, 1,600 k's north of Perth, and has about 1,500 people, so a really tight-knit community, an opportunity when we were young to play any sport we possibly could throughout that period, and with some really close mates, and me and my brother were really competitive, loved footy from an early age, and I had some uncles who played a fair bit of waffle football and some VFL football as well, so followed them with interest when we were young, and then from there grew the passion and had to move to Perth to try and continue it.
Were you one of the stars in those junior competitions in Dampier?
No, not really. Oh, I think we had some really good footballers that I played with that decided, obviously when I finished high school, I decided to move to Perth to have a crack at playing waffle footy to start, and a lot of those people stayed up north to continue to work. So there were some good players up there, and some certainly better than me at the time.
Did you think you missed out on the opportunity? Because you were picked up in the 2000 rookie draft, and the 28th overall pick during that year.
I played at East Perth Colts for that year, 1999, and then missed out on the draft at the end of that year. And I got a call from Trevor Woodhouse, who was a recruiting manager at the West Coast Eagles, towards the end of October after the draft. And they said, oh, would you like to come down and train with us for a spot on the rookie list? So back then you could train with an AFL team for a crack at getting on the list. And I got a call Friday, jumped at the opportunity Monday morning, and then did my first ever pre-season of any level at an AFL club, and I found out the hard way.
Can you talk us through that opening day of pre-season
really sure
of the
I
West
was.
Coast Eagles?
It still haunts me. We rocked up to City Beach Oval and had a get out of the car and had about an hour and a half skills session. I thought, oh, this isn't too bad. I was exhausted by the end of it, but got through that. And then they go, all right, the joggers are on, and we had a 3K time trial. So back at that stage, I didn't realise they had to come back at certain conditions and times that they had to run, and we get the start blocks, and they go, all right, all the big blokes over here and the small blokes there, two groups are running. All right, start, off you go, and everyone jumped out like it was a 100-metre sprint. And I come in second last in the first one, and I beat Scotty Cummings, which was a huge achievement in myself, the full forward at the time, and didn't realise once we finished that, they said, all right, you got some time off, and then you got another one. So, yeah, it was a great first session, and I suppose halfway through the second one, I thought AFL might not be for me.
Your record speaks for itself, and the rest is history now. Premiership player, six-time All-Australian, and I think you're the best ruckman that I've ever seen play the game. You revolutionised the way that you play that position, especially in the AFL. And you were just talking about it was a slow start to your AFL career with that opening day at pre-season. But what was the turning point? Because you were one of the ruckman that covered more ground than some midfielders or smaller midfielders. Was there someone that got inside your head to say this is the way that you can play the game, or was that how you saw the game?
No, it was probably evolved into time with it. I think one thing, once I come back and realised what it took to be a fit AFL footballer. For that pre-season, watching some of the players that were running around, I was going, shit, I'm actually a really long way off this. So I wanted to make sure that I ran in my days off. I did extra to build my fitness base. And then once I started to build a bit of confidence in that, and I played underneath and alongside Michael Gardner for a long period of time. I was probably the premier big man in the comp in the early 2000s. And, you know, throughout games, he'd run off after the ruck contest and try and link up around the ground, and you'd sort of try and chase him. And then once that became, and then you'd start getting the ball, and then you'd have an impact differently. And it just sort of built over a period of time. And when I was in my mid-20s, I'd go into games going, well, have the confidence that I've put in the work. The player, my opponent, will keep up with me for a short period of time. And if I didn't get on top of them early at some stage late in the game, under fatigue, and then I'll put them through, I'd start to have an impact for the team.
We were having a chat to Brian Brown, of course, yesterday, and he was having a chat about his son, Jonathan Brown, that was inducted into the Hall of Fame the night before you. And we also had a chat to Simon Black, and they all said it was the work ethic and the willingness to go that extra step and to work harder than everybody else. Is that what you... just listening to you now, is that what you believed in, that you had to put in the work to make sure that you're better than your opposition come Saturday?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, I left no stone unturned to make sure that I could perform at my best, and whether that was, you know, doing things when no one's watching, your days off, and I went to sleep the night before a game confident in the work that I've done. You know, you put your head on the pillow, if you can't do much more than perform the next day, well, your preparation's really good. And, you know, something I was pretty anal about, to make sure I'd get it done as well as I possibly could, so when game day came, I was ready. And, whether that be studying your opponent or ways to exploit them, you know, the time you put in is what you get out of it.
You're coaching now, you're an assistant there at the Sydney Football Club under John Longmire. You spent some time as an assistant coach at the West Coast Eagles. Can you teach that in a player, or does a player need to have it inside of them?
I think players certainly have to have the fire in the belly, first of all. But then you've got to be able to put them in positions where they can build some resilience and be an opportunity to continually grow in that area. It doesn't happen overnight, and it's not something that you can just flick a switch that, you know, I suppose if I look back at my career, it took time to get there. And you know, that's what you want to try and make sure the players are in an environment where they're always challenged, where they're uncomfortable at times, because when they're in the nature of this game, it is a brutal industry, and if you're not ready for it, you get spat out really quickly.
Are you proud? Obviously, you're a Hall of Famer now and your record speaks for itself, but there's not too many people that can say that they help change the way that people play the game.
I suppose if in some small way. If the rucks these days sort of play a little bit of part in the way they prepare and think about the game, well, yeah, that is a, you know, great thing to hear. But, you know, the people I had before me, if you're talking Luke Darcy, Matthew Allen, Stephen King, that started the generation, they did that for me. And if I did that for someone else, so they can have a long and enjoyable AFL career, well, great. But that's how I think about it.
Yeah, who was if you had to pick one player now, Judd, Kerr or Cousins, which one would you pick?
It's like saying, which child do I love the best, Gareth? they're all different. That's the best part about him. Judd at his best was probably the most damaging, because he did it really consistently for a long period of time. He'd work players into the ground, and then Curry is just so tough, you know, for someone that should be riding down the Flemington Straight. You know, he put his body in the where people don't normally go, and you know, he's courageous and creative by hand. So, yeah, they're all different and great footballers in their own right.
Do you think that side should have won more than just the one premiership?
Yeah, probably looking back on it. I think the thing with us is we didn't keep the team together for long enough. You know, I think we were building towards 2004, 2005, 2006. We had a chance at it. And went one each, and then towards the end of 07, obviously Ben did his hammy in a final. Chris had bad groins and then left. Kerry snapped a tendon in his finger that missed the whole finals campaign. So, yeah, we needed our best team, and if we had kept them together, yeah, I think we probably could have.
You always need a little bit of luck as well. Who was the toughest opponent that you played against?
Oh, I suppose when I was early on, you know, you've had the likes of Matthew Primus and the big boys that played a bit of footy with not that circle in the middle, and they'd charge in and try and, you know, intimidate some raw young kids. So you learnt a hell of a lot from technique with that sort of stuff. And, you know, probably them, I really admired Brendan Lade. He was a really, really good soft hands tap ruckman. Brad Ottens, and then the bloke down the road, I'd play a fair bit against him, Aaron Sandland. So he was always tough, purely with his size, but he could also run as well. So, yeah, you'd spend a lot of time trying to wrestle trees throughout the week to get your opposition stuff ready and practice against him.
There was a couple of brutal matches against the Dockers. I didn't see you throw too many punches. But yeah, I think for most of your career, you had the wood over the Dockers.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think we ebbed and flowed. So we'd serve a dominant period, then they'd come back at us, and then we couldn't beat them for about six or seven games in a row. So quite disappointing.
Did you have is there one standout game?
No, not really. Finals and grand finals, you'll always remember. Your first game's always something that sticks in front of my mind. And then the last one, I didn't really know it was going to be my last game. So we got knocked out of the finals the week after and didn't play finals. So, the grand finals are the special ones.
We're talking to Dean Cox, who was inducted into the Australian Football Hall of Fame there last night. Those two grand finals, wonderful games. Cliffhangers, everybody was on the edge of their seats in both those encounters. Obviously, you won one and the Sydney Football Club won one, but it was a great rivalry for so many years.
Yeah, it was. I think, you know, not only the grand finals, but whether it was home and away or qualifying finals, I think there was six or seven games with about 12 points in total difference between us. So you knew if one side jumped out, the other side was coming, and vice versa. So it's, yeah, they're intense. The last probably 10 or 15 minutes of every one of those games is as intense as you could ever get in football. And, yeah, two of them in grand finals, and it was probably fitting we won one each after what we did together. And now being at Sydney, the respect they had for West Coast is exactly what we had for the Swans at the time and the way they played their footy.
And it's funny how your life can go the complete circle, because I saw a picture there the other day that you're actually playing basketball with Michael O'Loughlin and Adam Goods, two of your arch rivals throughout that particular period.
Yeah, it is actually. It's quite funny in Kirky. So through the basketball team, they asked to come down and play. I think they might have needed a centre at the time to get a rebound so they can shoot a bit more. But, it's always good fun. And you realise once you get to another club, they're actually good blokes as well.
How good could have you been if you didn't have to fly 5 hours every second week?
I actually didn't mind the travel. It was just a good opportunity to sort of get away, and only you didn't really have anything else to focus on other than the way you could prepare. And, I suppose recovery was starting to really become a big, strong focus back then, and getting on a plane wasn't too bad. Bit of me time.
And we know that you're a busy man now with a young family. Are you enjoying being an assistant coach?
Yeah, I love it. I was fortunate towards the back end of my career. I knew what I wanted to do. Had an opportunity at West Coast, and then, you know, to come to Sydney and then be given multiple roles and change and, you know, really add to my personal development. It's been unreal over here so far, and loving every minute. And just a little bit more challenging with the northern markets. You know, when you come from WA and it is very footy orientated, it's getting a lot of traction up here, but we still need to make sure we maintain more.
How is Buddy, and when do we expect to see him playing again?
Not sure. I think it'll be a matter of the next couple of weeks. Will be crucial to when he can start the recovery, proper recovery and running process. So, fingers crossed, it's as soon as possible. But you know, we want to make sure he's right as well for when he is back, that he can have a big impact in the back part of the year.
And how tough has it been, for, especially for football departments with this situation? You would have lost a lot of good people from that football department at the Sydney Football Club over the last 2 to 3 months as we go through the, one of the toughest periods that the game's ever seen. How has John Longmire and the Sydney Football Club dealt with that situation?
Yeah, it's been tough. We had, you know, majority of our players, I think we've got 9 on our list that are from New South Wales. So everyone's in a state. As soon as the round one finished and we realised we were getting stood down or shut down, it was a matter of sending all the players home so they could be with their families. We didn't know how long it was going to go for, and that happened, and trying to stay in regular contact and make sure they're doing their program, and you know, whilst also being stood down like a lot of people in other industries as well. It's really difficult when your first thing is to provide for your family. When that's taken away, it sort of changes your mindset and some philosophies on life. And but yeah, good to be back, and the players presented really well when they come back. And unfortunately, not all staff are back yet, but hopefully at some stage it can turn around.
What's it like working with Steve Johnson?
Interesting, entertaining, and always challenging. That's probably the way I'd describe it.
There's a funny clip going on around the traps these days when he orders a coffee and you have to put your name when the person making the coffee, they go, "What's your name, mate?" He goes by the name of Norm. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, yeah, we were in Queenstown as well one night last off-season, and there was a Geelong supporter that was... we ordered a burger at the end of the night and or early hours in the morning, and he did that trick as well, and the Geelong bloke thought it was hilarious. But it's a constant with him now. He's the biggest self-promoter you'll see, so won't be the first or last time something like that happened.
What are you going to call yourself now, Hawley or something, when you order it?
I don't know, I might have to try and do something with him and get him back.
Hey, Dean, congratulations. It's a wonderful career. Just a message coming through from Dicko. Is there any chance that you might put back to the Dampier Sharks? Maybe play a game one off when their season recommences, maybe later on in the year or next year?
It'd be all right if they opened the border so we could get over to WA at some stage. But no, I sort of thought I'd love to play with my brother at some stage. That hasn't happened, but... now the footy boots, I don't even wear them at training anymore, just joggers, and my footy days are done playing, so no games for me.
Well, congratulations, you've come a long way after kicking off your football career, the Dampier Sharks, surviving that first day of pre-season there at the West Coast Eagles after being picked up late in the rookie draft, and now you've become one of the greats of the game, one of the best ruckmen that the game's ever produced. So you should be proud. Well done, and good luck with the Sydney Swans. You probably need it this year, but hopefully
I love proving people wrong, Gareth. You know that.
You do. Can you make the finals, the Swans?
Hopefully. Time will tell. Yep. Started okay, so we've got to build on that now. So thank you.
And I guess with the football department, you're looking after what, the back line, the forward line, the midfield, and you're the ruck coach?
Yeah, we've got a few jobs now we've got to do. That's all right. We'll get it done.
All right, good on you, Cox. And by the way, how's that? You're one of the worst punters I know, and you have no luck with racehorse ownership. Has that changed of late?
No, it hasn't. Stop sending me these tips, please, you get as well.
All right, then. Thanks for that, Coxie.
Right. Good on you. 0 from 12, you are. Thank you very much. Have a great day.